Everybody, how are you? I am delighted to meet you. Do I talk funny to you all? No. Just like him? Yeah. Does Tony need to come up here and do interpret for me or whatever? All right. Hey, I am delighted to be here. You all are a terrific group of people. I would love to take you all home with me for sure. All right, let's go. Come on, let's go. You all would, in my church, are the same. Same friendly, wonderful, warm, rotten group of people. What's that? Yeah, bad jokes, yeah, all that. And Matt, I loved what you did the last service. Thank you. That was so terrific. So how did I get here? My wife, Brenda, get here. We have known Tony and Julie for 20 years now. We have been friends for about 20 years. It's interesting, both of us were assistant pastors. The guy that does everything and then the pastor gets all the credit, you know what I'm talking about? We were assistant pastors at two different churches. He was the assistant pastor or a staff pastor in the church in Maryville, Tennessee, Maryville, but we say Maryville. And Julie was on staff there. Brenda and I were on staff in a church in Ohio. And at the same time, God was calling both of us to be pastors. We were moving from, you know, the second in command to the first in command. We were tired of being told what to do. We wanted to start telling people what to do. That's really all that amounted to. It's, you know, it's nothing big about that. And so we connected there, and little did we know 20 years ago that God would call Tony and Julie to Australia to be a pastor. And then God would call Brenda and me and I to be the pastor of their church in Tennessee. It's a small world, is it not? And so now he is an unofficial. They are unofficial members of my church. All that means is I just make them send their tithe back to us. That's all that means. And, you know, so it's fun being in the ministry with them. And it's fun being here. I thought what I would do, and I got Tony's permission to do this, I would like to do a quick video of you all just saying hi to my church in Maryville. Would you do that? And I hope you don't mind being videotaped. What's that? Good day. Yeah, I want you to be you because I want them to know you. You can't believe the group of brothers and sisters that you have in Tennessee that would just absolutely love to be a part of this church. And so I want you to say hi. I'm going to start, and then if you don't mind, I'm going to post it on our church Facebook page. They aren't having church yet. It's still Saturday there. So they'll see you having church, and that will remind them to go to church, I hope, with me being gone. You never know when the pastor's away, you know. How that goes. So here we go. Are you ready? We're just going to have a little bit of fun. Maybe a minute and a half video. Say hi. So I'm going to start with me and say, oh, I don't want to take a picture of me. I want to take a video. All right, here we go. Hey, Victory, good morning. We are in Port Macquarie with the War Hope Baptist Church. This is a group of people just like you, a little bit crazy, but they love the Lord and each other. And it's my privilege to be here. So I'm going to let them say hi to you. Now, you're going to have to excuse them because they talk funny, all right? So hang on here. Let me see if I can switch this around. All right, how do I switch this around? I need help here. All right, I'm going to turn it around. So here we go. You ready? I'm just going to come up to people. I think I'm doing this right. Here we go. This is Matt. There you go.
Hello, guys. Great to have Steve and Brenda with us, and we hope they enjoy their stay. It's actually not Port Macquarie, it's War Hope.
War Hope, I'm sorry. Yeah, War Hope, my bad.
It's like America and England, different.
Oh, yeah, we got away from England a long time ago. We were tired of those guys. I'm just going to say.
Hello, Steve, I'd like you all to spell War Hope.
W-A-U-C-H-H-O-P-E. W-A-R-H-O-P-E, War Hope.
G'day, mate. Put another shrimp on the bar.
Yeah, I told you they were crazy. Just come around here. This is Ken right here.
Hello, guys. I speak normally. I'm from South Africa. You find the regular?
I'm
also from South Africa.
We're also from South Africa.
South Africans, that's really cool, very cool. South Africans, that's right. And this is?
It's Mal. G'day, how are you? This is my son, Tom.
Say hello, everybody. Say hello.
How do you keep Pastor Steve in suspense? I'll tell you next week.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Say hello, everybody. What a delightful group of people you are. Say hello, my brother.
Hi, from Boyhope.
That's right. From Wachope, right? That's how I say it. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Pleased to meet you all.
Oh, you guys are so delightful.
G'day, mate. He's 75.
75 today. You're 75 today? Happy birthday. All right. Well, I wanted you to meet some of the most delightful people ever. Victory and I, I'll post this later. And love you guys. We'll see you soon. Hey, thanks for doing that. I really appreciate that. And I hope that turned out. Yeah, exactly. There's nothing worse than a 56-year-old guy with an iPhone in his hand. You never know what's going to happen. Hey, I thought what I'd do is try to encourage you today out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you have your text there. I think this is a great message for a church like this. It's a great message for my church. It's a great message for a group of believers who love each other, who are sticking together, who are encouraging each other. And it's just a message to encourage you to keep doing that. Being a pastor in the States, just being a pastor in general, I want to remind you of how special what you have here is. This is not happening everywhere. It really is not, trust me. Traveling around in the States and knowing about some churches in the States, there are many of our churches that are not this way, loving, kind, dedicated to one another, dedicated to the Word of God. So don't give that up, okay? And I want to preach this message to you, 20 minutes or so, just an encouragement, because we are doing ministry in what I consider to be the last days. I think that we are at the end of time. Now, end of time to the Lord could be another 1,000 years, right? But we are in the last days. And here's how I know that we're in the last days, because Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spoke unto his prophets in different ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. So when people ask me, do you think it's the last days? I say, it absolutely is the last days. As a matter of fact, the last days began when Jesus came to the earth. When Jesus came to give his life for us, to offer himself as a sacrifice, the clock started ticking on the last days. That was the purpose of Jesus coming. He came to rescue humanity before it was all over. Now, when you think about the last days, we know some of the signs, Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21. We learn that there's going to be earthquakes in different places. We know that nation is against nation. The word nation there in the original language is ethnos, and so you have ethnic groups against each other. You know, have all the different groups, not necessarily nation like Australia, New Zealand, America, North America, all that. It's ethnic groups that are fighting one another. And we know all of those different signs, and it's awfully easy, I think, as a believer to get so focused on the signs that you become negative and fearful. I think that you can watch the news, if you watch the news at all. I try to turn it off pretty much. I think ignorance is bliss. And, you know, if that is the case, then I'm the happiest guy in the world, right? Because I just am pretty ignorant. I know that we need to know some things, but here's what I think we need to know in the last days. Jesus said that I will be with you even to the end, finish it with me, of the age. And so here we are as a group of believers. You are Christians in the last days. I'm a pastor in the last days. And if we're not careful, we can lose hope and say, well, what's the use? The world's falling apart. It's so negative. I'm scared. I don't know about the economy. I don't know about all these wars and rumors of wars. What do we do? This is the comfort that I find when Paul wrote Timothy. And I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. Could we agree with that? That we live in dangerous times. All right? But what Paul wants Timothy to know is, and believers who would read this letter later, is even though we are in perilous times, because Timothy was in perilous times also, that this is what we need to do. For men shall be lovers of themselves, verse 2, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, which Matt nailed it today about being thankful, unholy, without natural affection. That without natural affection simply means that men fall in love with men, women fall in love with women. Children don't love their parents anymore. Parents don't love their children. Brothers don't love their sisters. Just that affection that's natural. Everything gets out of whack. Incontinent in the King James just means without self-control, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, verse 5 to me is amazing because when you go through all of this, you're like, oh, yeah, that's really bad. That's the way the world is. But when you get to verse number 5, he says this, and they have a form of godliness. What? How can a person who loves themselves, is covetous, boast, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, all of those things. Now the warning is, those kind of people will have a form of godliness. I don't know if you're familiar with a quarterback in the NFL in the United States named Tom Brady. We're not a big fan of Tom Brady in Tennessee because he wins everything and he won't leave us alone. But I read an article about him yesterday about his spirituality. Now this is not, I'm not talking about, I don't know Tom Brady's relationship with the Lord at all. But the phrase nowadays is, I'm spiritual. Well, what's that mean? I'm spiritual. Tom Brady's wife, Giselle, says that they are spiritual beings living in a material world. What's that mean? And so what we have is a culture who are those negative things that have built up for themselves this form of godliness. But, verse 5 says, they deny the power thereof. Now, what do you suppose the power is of godliness? Amen. Ken's right. It's the Holy Spirit. We can refer back to Romans chapter 1, I think it is, that talks about, Paul writes to Romans and says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Here's what I know about people today in general. Most people living the negative worldly lifestyle are okay with being spiritual. They're okay with going to church. As a matter of fact, churches are exploding. We have mega churches. But when you bring up the subject of Jesus Christ and the need to be saved, people turn you off. Well, what do you mean I need to be saved? What's wrong with me? I'm a good guy. I'm a nice lady. And in the end, the Bible says that that's what's going to happen. So what you're going to have is, besides all of the negative things out there in the world, I think that Paul's warning Timothy, what you're going to have is you're going to have an explosion of big churches. And I'm not against big church. I think it's fine. I want my church to grow. But you're going to have it filled with people who like the form of the church, but they don't want to be saved. They want to be religious, and they think that that makes them right with God. And that's just not the case. And so he warns again then in verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And so you have this world falling apart, and you have this religious people, spiritual beings living in a material world who will do everything religious, but when it comes down to Jesus, they won't accept him as their Savior. They won't give themselves over to salvation because they don't need it. I'm a good enough person. What you believe is good for you. And not only that, he says in verse 7, they're ever learning and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I am amazed right now at how often I can teach a person the scripture, but they never just really seem to get it. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Here's what I'm going to say to you today, brothers and sisters. If all of your relationship is going to church and learning about the Bible and you've never asked Jesus to save you, it is possible that you are one of these people. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I think you're a great person because you're in church on a Sunday morning. But what we have to do is get past the notion that we are spiritual beings living in a material world. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We are sinners who need to ask Jesus to save us. And then we can do the religious stuff, but we have to have it inside. Now, in verse 8 then, Paul mentions two fellas. And this is where we have to be careful too. Paul mentions two fellas here. He says in verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do also these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith." So he brings up the name of two guys that are not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, Jannes and Jambres. That's how a hillbilly from Tennessee would say. It's probably totally different in Hebrew or Greek. Who are these guys? These two guys are the magicians who stood up against Moses when Moses was trying to get the Israelites out of Egypt. Do you remember that story? Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, "No, I'm going to harden my heart." Moses throws down his stick. The stick turns into a snake. The magicians, Jannes and Jambres, Paul mentions them by name. He would have gotten that from other Jewish literature. They throw their snake down. It turns to a snake too. So there's no different. The magicians are like, "Moses, we're as good as you are. We're men of corrupt Egyptian mythology. You're a person of God. We can do what you want to do." But Moses' snake eats their snake. And they take notice of that. Moses again goes and says, "Hey, I want to do this." And Moses does another miracle. And Jannes and Jambres, they do the same miracle. And they're like, "Look, we're just as good as you are. You say that you're following God. We follow the Egyptian gods. We're just as good as you are. Your God is no better than our God." All of that happened until Moses struck the dirt and it turned to lice. Jannes and Jambres tried the same trick and they couldn't do it. And these two guys back up and they say to Pharaoh, "Hey, this man's from God. You better listen to him." Later on, God strikes all of the Egyptians with boils, sores. Guess who gets the sores as well? Jannes and Jambres. And they say to Pharaoh, "You need to listen." Here's the point here. In our culture, we have not only false churches, but we have false prophets who look very much like Moses, who can do nearly the same thing as Moses. We have other pastors who can preach nearly the same message that Tony preaches to you. We have other churches that nearly do the same thing, but what's the problem? They have the form of godliness, but they're denying the power. And you have to be careful, brothers and sisters, about these Jannes and Jambres, these false pastors. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Not only watch out for the false forms of godliness, watch out for the false pastors who nearly can do some things, but look what the scripture says, verse 9, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as also there was." In other words, they're only going to go so far, these false pastors, because eventually they're going to get boils on them too. And it's going to become evident to you that they are not men of God. All right, so what do we do as a church and as a group of believers in the last days? Here's what it says. Verse 10. Look what verse 10 says. "But," this is when we switch. So the first 9 verses are warnings. Look, here's the way the world is. Here's their forms of godliness. They build these churches. They have these pastors who can do all of these miraculous things until it becomes evident that they were not real at all. "But," verse 10, "thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Here's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Timothy, listen, In the last days, it's going to get rough. And this is what I would say to you, church. This is what I say to my church. You're going to have to be careful about these churches who have the form and they can put on the really good show. They really do a dynamic job. But you're going to need to watch out for the Janus and Jambres of the world, the pastors of these churches, who will really look great until it becomes apparent sometime down the line that they're not the men of God. They were just magicians. And Paul says to Timothy, here's what I want you to do. But you know me. What's that mean? What Paul says to Timothy is, he says, what you have to do in these last days is you have to trust the one that has been with you for so long, and you've watched their life, and you know that they're men and women of God, and you trust them, and you stick together with those that don't just have the form of godliness and deny the power. This is a great encouragement. Let me say this to you, because I can say this to you because I'm not your pastor. What this is saying is you need to trust your pastor who's been with you for so long, and don't be fooled by somebody else that can do it better, but you don't know them. One of the great joys of being a pastor is living among my people. They know me. I'm not a showman. I visit them in the hospital. I live with them. I dedicate their babies. I go out to eat with them. I love them. It's not a performance for me. Paul says to Timothy, listen, in the last days when it gets all crazy, trust your spiritual leaders that have been with you for a long time to lead you and guide you in the way you should go. I think that's such great advice. For you, it would be Tony. For you, it would be your elders. These people who live among you that you know, that you trust. They may not be as flashy as Janus and Jambres. Are you getting it? They may not be able to throw the stick down and it turn into a snake. They may not be able to touch the river and it turns into blood. But it will become evident who they are eventually. Secondly, verse 13, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. This is King James, deceiving and being deceived. Paul says to Timothy in the last days that evil men and seducers, meaning men that will want you to live the way they do, will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this comes from the leadership of the church, I believe. You're going to have men in the last days. This is big in the States, probably big here. We have pastors who are leading their people into liberty. Do you understand what I mean? That's not a sin anymore. Well, you know, come on. It's modern times. It's not bad to live with someone you're not married to. It's not bad to be immoral with people that you're not married to. Come on. What's wrong with you, pastor, that you don't marry same sex? Come on. What's wrong with you? And this drawing from our pulpits in our churches, our preaching things to try to get people to involve themselves in what the Bible calls evil. So how do we combat that? How do you combat that? Look what it says here. Verse 14. But continue in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. You know who taught you this. Stick with it. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. How do we combat this today? Do we sell our property, move on a mountain, and wait for the Lord to return? I don't advise that. It's cold, right? How do we do that? We trust the leaders who have brought us this far, and secondly, even more. Because even leaders are men and can fail. Even more, we bury ourselves into the Holy Scriptures. There's one thing that won't fail us today. It's the Holy Scriptures, this Word of God. And what we have to do if we want to know what's right or what's wrong, what does the Bible say? And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible is completely politically incorrect. Completely. I mean, it's against everything that society is for. And our decision has to be, if God is God, and the scriptures are the scriptures, and my pastor is teaching me what the scripture says, I got to stick with that. I'm going to stick with that. Because what I don't want to have is I don't want to have a form of godliness and deny the power. I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of who does what or what nation does what or what person does what or what opinion, political opinion. It doesn't matter to me. God's word is God's word, and we'll stick with it. And so if you want to settle yourself into these evil days, read God's word. Wouldn't it be nice to hear God's audible voice? Here's what I say. If you want to hear God's audible voice, read the scripture out loud. And you've heard it. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Follow your leaders as they follow the scripture. Trust God that he knows what's best. And he will be with us even unto the end of the age. Amen. That's the hook I'm hanging my hat on. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. My Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for this congregation. Their faithfulness, their steadfastness, their desire to please you, their desire to follow their pastor, to be obedient to the scriptures, and I pray that you'll bless them in all that they do. But maybe there's somebody here today that has the form right. On the outside, they're doing what's right, but on the inside, they've never trusted you to be their Savior. They've never asked you to save them. I pray that they'll buy into that power today and call on the name of the Lord to be saved. For this congregation and my congregation back in the States, protect them. Lord, we are being bombarded every week by Janice and Jambres, by evil men and pastors and others who are not pastors, not Christians, who are trying to lure us into evil. Help us to stay faithful to the scriptures until you come to get us. In Jesus' name, amen.